Thank you so much for joining me this Sunday afternoon as we talk about the pleasure of the Lord. So what can we do to please God? The Bible's full of different things we can do to please the Lord. We also know the things that grieve the Lord as we read through Scripture and as we learn about God's heart and His character and how He reveals Himself to us in the earth. So I often preach about sins we need to repent from as a nation or as a people. But today I'm not going to talk about those things that grieve Him. I'm going to talk about those things that please God. So it's about what pleases the Lord. Jesus says that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. So how do we keep His commandments? We love God with all that we have. Amen. We love our neighbor as ourselves, and we share the gospel message wherever we go with both words and actions. Loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. That's how we please the Lord. And we're to love others as ourselves. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves while we share the gospel message, while we share the love of Christ, while we share all that God has revealed to us. So the pleasure of the Lord isn't just a saying. When God is pleased, there is a sense you can feel, you can sense in the spirit that God is pleased with you. There's a spiritual sense that you can experience, is what I'm saying, in the spiritual realm. So it's a satisfaction that hits deeper than anything a person could do or say. It hits deeper than anything that can be expressed with words or in the natural realm. It's a sweet sense of rest and peace in the spirit that confirms what you've been doing is pleasing to Him. So another thing you should know is that the Holy Spirit empowers and supports those who walk in faith. So we need to walk in faith. Amen? We're either walking in faith or fear. You can't do both at the same time. And sometimes you're going to feel fear. You're going to be having fearful thoughts. But you can have faith in the midst of that. And true faith is continuing in faith in spite of any fear that you may be feeling at the time. But we need to live by faith and in faith as we move forward in our walk with God. So another thing you should know that is that the Holy Spirit empowers us. He empowers us as we align ourselves with God's will. And then we should be praying each and every day, God, align my will with your will. Not my will, but yours be done. So if you believe the word of God and act upon the word of God, the Spirit of God will not only rise up within you, He'll confirm that you're acting according to God's divine will by allowing you to sense His pleasure. Again, when I talk about the pleasure of the Lord, we're going to talk about some things, many different things that please the Lord in this message. But when I talk about the pleasure of the Lord in a spiritual sense, I'm talking about a spiritual sense you can feel in the Spirit as God is pleased with you. There's been quite a few times where, it doesn't happen all the time, but quite a few times in different seasons of my life where I've been just driving along in my car, or I'd be living out my life in, you know, in some place, in some form, all of a sudden, and most of the time it's happened in my car as I'm just, you know, I'm not thinking on anything. I have a clear mind. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God just rushes upon me and just kind of relays the message as His Spirit touches my spirit. Son, I'm pleased with you. I am pleased with what you're doing. I am pleased with how you're walking your life out for me, how you're living your life out for me. And we're going to sense the pleasure of the Lord as we align our will with His will. So now I'll move on to speaking about what pleases God and how we can know we're walking according to God's will. So first, let's talk about faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." So that's the first requirement. Let's remember that. The first requirement, you're not going to be able to please God without faith in Him, that He exists, that He is who He says He is in the Bible. Some translations say those who diligently seek Him. And we need to seek the Lord. We need to continually go after Him. And this is where pleasing the Lord begins. Before obedience, before living according to God's divine will, we need to first have faith that He exists and that He is good and that He is faithful. It makes sense, doesn't it? Why would we obey a God we don't believe in? That wouldn't make sense. So faith in God is what allows us to take hold of the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who can believe unless it's been preached, unless they've heard the preaching of the word, unless they've heard about the God of the Bible? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's share the word of God. Let's live the word of God. Let's share his love. His love captivates us. The love of Christ, the perfect love of Christ, captivates us. So when we believe the word of God and act upon the word of God, all of what's contained in the Bible becomes possible for us. A portion of faith has been given to each person, and we're to act according to that portion of faith. And you can find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. So regardless of how much faith you have, it only takes a very small amount of faith to produce a result. That's why Jesus said, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, be moved into the sea, and it will be moved. Amen. Hallelujah. You can tell that impossible situation in your life, be moved, be healed. Hallelujah. Be healed in your body. Be delivered in Jesus' name, and you will see those things begin to take place as you just move with that mustard seed of faith. And that's how it starts. That's how it begins, this life of faith that we live. So when you place your faith in what the Word has to say about God, you'll not only unlock the supernatural power of God in your life by believing correctly, you'll also please the Lord by doing so. So it starts with faith, and we're to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Before we know Jesus, he pursues us because of his grace and mercy. But when we receive revelation regarding his nature and his forgiveness, we understand his love for us. We begin to understand his love and how great it is for us. We love him because he loved us first, the scriptures say, and it's true. We wouldn't love him unless we knew the depths of his love for us. His unfailing love should ignite a passion within us to where we want to pursue him. So God pursues us, Jesus pursues us, and then in return, he wants us to pursue him. You know, and I was just sharing with someone this morning at the church service I attended this morning. I was visiting a church that is in media in Delaware County. But anyway, I was sharing with a person today who said, you know, I long for more of the Spirit of God. I long for more encounters with God. And first of all, I would say to a person who is saying this to me, who is expressing this to me, first of all, develop an intimate relationship with Jesus. And out of that relationship, you're going to have encounters. You're going to see supernatural occurrences, miracles, signs and wonders, healings and deliverances. But it all flows from an intimate relationship with him. If you don't have that, you can't expect to have more encounters. You can't expect to have more of God's presence. You can't expect to see these supernatural things take place. If we're not seeking God himself, if we're not seeking Christ himself, you can't expect these things. But if you're seeking the Lord, if you're asking for more of him, he's going to reveal more of himself. But we have to get a hunger for God that goes beyond a hunger for the things of this world and even the natural things, the things that we need, like food, like clothing. Amen. These are necessary. These are natural needs. But our desire for God should go even beyond what we need in the natural, what we feel that we want and desire in the natural. Our hunger for God needs to be greater than that. So there's no power. Now, this is a word that God gave to me recently, and it just reminds me of other things God has revealed and spoken in his word. But he said to me, there's no power without purity, and there's no presence without pursuit. So if you want more of God's presence, you want to be in his presence, you want to encounter him, pursue him. Pursue him. There's no presence without pursuit, and there's no power without purity. If you're not setting yourself apart, if you're not coming out of the world and saying, God, make me different, set me apart. That's what the word holy means. It means to be set apart, and it means to be distinct from others. So we need to set ourselves apart and ask God to cleanse us, to purify us, to refine us, to consecrate us for service unto him. And that's how we're going to see the power of God moving in our lives. It pleases the Lord when we seek more of him. He calls us into the deep. So do you understand what I mean by that? We shouldn't be satisfied by a shallow commitment to Christ. We should be satisfied by the living water that flows through us and fills us, which is the Holy Spirit, but another way of saying it, as we place our faith in Christ, as we move in this life that we're to live out in Christ, as we worship God, hallelujah, with our words, but also with our actions. We live out the message of the gospel with our words and actions, and we worship God with our words and actions. We're to live our lives as living sacrifices laid down unto him. So in fact, you should never be so comfortable that you stop pursuing God. We should never get so comfortable, and the American church is so guilty of this. We've all been guilty of this at times, that this land of America is a land of comfort. And it's so easy to eat the food, to watch the TV, to be entertained, and to become so comfortable that you don't make time for God in your day. But this cannot be. If you desire more of God, this cannot be. You need to continually pursue him, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I've known many missionaries who are serving in various nations throughout the world. And when I ask them how it feels when they return to America to visit family, they usually say something very similar, which is something along these lines, that America is a land that can rock you to sleep spiritually if you let it. It's not called the land of excess for nothing, brothers and sisters. It's not called that for just any old reason. Entertainment and comfort cloud the minds of far too many Christians who sign on to follow Jesus for the benefits package, never counting the cost of what it takes to follow Jesus. We are to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And it's a hard message that is not preached enough. It's a hard message that people don't want to receive and people don't want to live by. But if we deny ourselves, hallelujah, Jesus tells us that for a purpose, for a blessing as well, to bless others through our sacrificial lives, to bless others through our consecrated lives, but also to receive blessing from God. Because as we deny the natural cravings, we reap the benefits of what it is to know God, what it is to live a life unto God, and spiritual blessing. I'm telling you, spiritual blessing is much greater than material blessing in this life. And you may have never been blessed spiritually in the ways that I have. But I want you to know that. I want you to know what it is to be blessed spiritually, so that that hunger, that thirst is quenched for God. You'll never be fulfilled until you have Jesus in your life. And when you deny yourself and live in humility before the Lord, he pours out more of himself. He reveals more of his plan for your life when he knows you're ready for a glimpse. There are also times of testing, times of refining, times of sifting before God. And these times come before God can use you to the fullest. Before God can use you and bring you to that place of the greatest potential in your life. So now let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, as we talk about the pleasure of the Lord. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. So Paul emphasizes obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. As he writes to the Philippians, he acknowledges their obedience even during times when he wasn't there to see what was happening personally. He also tells them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. By saying this, he reminds them that they should fear God. And as they are convicted of wrongdoing, they should submit to God's divine will. So it's God that's at work within us. The Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and he empowers us to live in accordance with God's divine will and purpose. So when a person becomes confident in their own strength, they find themselves opposing God. Understand that when you depend on your own wisdom, your own strength, your own power, you're opposing God and saying that you are God and that you don't need him. So the fear of God is necessary in the life of a believer. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why is this? To fear God is to revere him and to take his commandments seriously. The fear of the Lord is different from the type of fear the enemy wants to fill you with. The enemy wants to fill you with a fear that paralyzes, a fear that cripples, a fear that confuses you. But God wants to fill you with a reverence for him, an awe for him, a fear for him, because he will judge mankind. The power of life and death is in his hands, but the fear that God wants us to have for him is an empowering fear. It's a fear that convicts us and sends us forward into action, living out his commandments, living out his purpose. There's another motivation that's even greater than the fear of God, though, in our lives. Hallelujah, that we receive as God pours out his spirit into our hearts. and it's the love of God. The love of God is a greater motivator than even the fear of God. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" And Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There are many things I could say about the perfect love of Christ. Christ demonstrated his love for mankind at the cross of Calvary, where he laid down his life. Where he laid down his life for a world that was bent on rebellion toward him. And I'll tell you this, God's love, Jesus' perfect love, casts out sin, sickness, and sorrow. These things flee from the presence of God. These things are made whole in the glory of God. When a person comes to know this kind of love, this perfect love, no other love compares. Not the love of a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, of anyone, a spouse, a husband or wife. The love of God goes beyond any of these kinds of love, these human kinds of love. It's divine love. Hallelujah. It's a divine love. And I want you to feel the divine touch of God, even today, as he makes you whole, as he delivers you in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. As the King visits you, know the day of your visitation as the presence of God moves through your house, your apartment, your car, wherever you are. I believe you're receiving exactly what it is that you need even now. So Christ's love is captivating because he gave all that we might reap the benefits. He chose to enter a world set against him. He left the majesty of heaven, hallelujah, to experience sorrow and pain. So how far would God go? He proved how far he would go to get a hold of the hearts of men through Christ. Through Christ, through the cross. It's how far he would go to redeem his creation, to redeem mankind. Jesus was sent into the world to reveal God's heart and destroy the works of the enemy, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We please Jesus by loving as he loved, by living as he lived. Jesus said, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." He said this in John chapter 14, verse 15. So what are Jesus' commands? He commanded people to repent. So we should repent of our sins and turn from them as well. Jesus called people to follow him and to deny themselves. When we choose to follow Jesus, we are called to endure hardship. We are called to serve God regardless of what we may have to sacrifice or go through in our lives along the way. So Jesus also taught his disciples to love God with all of their hearts, minds, and souls. He told them this is the first and greatest commandment. The first and greatest commandment. We need to love God. We need to love him. And by loving him, we need to show him that we love him through our actions. But we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I hear many sermons, many messages preached on how we need to live holier lives, on how we need to follow the commandments of God. But if you're not talking about the Holy Spirit, there's no way it's going to get accomplished. We fall short every single time. But the Word of God says, "Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." By his Spirit, he can empower us to live out his will. He can empower us to live out the acts that he has prepared for us from the beginning of time, for us to live out, for us to walk out. Jesus also said that the second greatest commandment was, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So we must submit to the Holy Spirit and ask Jesus to impart to us his great love. As his Spirit fills our hearts, we then become capable of a love this world has never known. His love goes beyond emotion, beyond the natural. His love overcomes all things. And you'll know this kind of love when his Spirit encounters your spirit. It's not emotion. Although the Holy Spirit sparks emotion, the Holy Spirit only acts in the spiritual realm. Although his manifestations are seen in the natural realm as well. And I'm not trying to confuse you. I want to keep this simple. But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with emotion. The Holy Spirit will radically transform you from the inside out, and you will see the results of him at work. Hallelujah. You'll see the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life. So in John chapter 6, the people asked Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So Jesus is saying part of the work of God, and This begins with faith. Once again, back to the topic of faith. We must believe in the one that God sent, who is Jesus, his son. And that statement, yes, it brings us right back to the topic of faith. And I'm going to close by reading Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which reminds us how important faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ truly is. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So continue in faith, my brothers and sisters, even if you're walking through a difficult season, continue in faith. Hallelujah. The things that our God has promised us will not fail. He will not fail us. He will not deceive us. This world will deceive us. The enemy will deceive us. Everything in this world fades, but God doesn't. His promises are sure and certain, and true faith is believing for a sure result, expecting something to take place. So I'm going to pray for you right now, whatever it is that you need, your miracle, your healing, your deliverance. Hallelujah, financial breakthrough, whatever it is. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I do believe and I know, in fact, that God provides for his people. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one. I thank you for Alan or Alan, Lord God, who's tuning in right now. Thank you for commenting, brother. Thank you for those who are joining even now. But Lord, I believe you're releasing miracles. You're releasing provision and protection. Lord God, you're multiplying resources even now in Jesus' name. You're making bodies whole. By the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, that you're setting people free that are captive to demonic forces. Shito rambaba shendo rabasi, kobu kondaba sande rabashi. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Set the captives free even now. I declare liberty over your life, freedom in the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. And Jesus is here. Jesus is near. Jesus is near to you even now. If you can't feel him, if you can't sense him, just know he's there. He's just waiting for you to call on his name. And I believe that God is releasing all that you need even now. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just believing by faith that you will receive. If you can believe it, you can receive it. So receive even now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, these are the things that please the Lord. Love God with all that you have. Love your neighbor as yourself and share the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. He has demonstrated his great love toward us through the cross, through his son. Thank you so much. Keep your eyes to the skies and your hand to the plow. God bless you.